Thank you. I'm an addict named Tosh.
Hi, Tosh.
So first and foremost, like, thank the gods of my understanding for Narcotics Anonymous and the beautiful life that the program has afforded me, the ability to live today. I'm real nervous, and I was grateful last night to the opening speaker that shared about being nervous, and the registration chair said she was nervous to him, and how he explained it. Like, we all have the same thought process, the same distorted perceptions of reality, the same fears. So it kind of like gave me a little relief to be able to do this, because I've ducked and dodged speaking engagements for quite some time now, and this one I couldn't get out of. So with that being said, when I was asked to take this engagement, like, there was a list of topics, and the first one at the top of the page was the gift of desperation. And I thought to myself, through all the rationalizations and the justifications that, like, I was going to try to spit to get out of this, I saw the gift of desperation at the top of the page, and something in my spirit said, if there's anything you can talk about, it's that, right? So in our literature, it says that, like, when through desperation, we sought help from each other in Narcotics Anonymous, right? So I spent many years in and out and on the fringes and half-stepping and not wanting to take suggestions. And so I was continuously back out there. And there were lots of points of desperation in my life, but it was always desperation for the next one. Desperation to get out of these charges. Desperation to get money for the next fix. And I went to many lengths to get the next one. I have a criminal record that is so long because I got myself involved in a lot of what were considered violent felonies. And that was all out of desperation. But what I was missing all along was, like, the desperation to get clean. Like, that was never in my thought process. You know, the little foxhole prayers, like, please get me out of this, and I won't use again. And it was all bullshit. It was just just desperation to get to the next one, because that's what drove my life for many, many years. The Living Clean book says something about, and I'm going to paraphrase, so don't quote me on it. The desperation that brought us to our knees becomes the passion that fuels our recovery forward. And that was my story this time with this clean date, because I've had many clean dates. When I got here, I'll start here. So I had another relapse and another state bid. And when I was up for parole, I had burnt many bridges. I had utilized lots of home plans, and I didn't have any options to come home. None. So the DOC found a transitional house for me on Allison Hill in Harrisburg. I don't know if anybody's familiar with that neighborhood, but it is not a good one. And I went there. And I immediately relapsed, and I used for several months. And that's where I believe, for me, looking back, the gift of desperation came into my life. Because there was a moment of clarity. I used for so many years trying to die. Like, let this be the one that takes me the fuck out, because I don't want to live anymore. And there was a moment of clarity that said, you're going to fucking die here in this city. And I didn't want to die. For the first time in my life, I wanted to live. And I knew, because, like I said, I'd been in and out and hung around on the fringes of the program for quite some time. So I knew what I needed to do. And I went into the parole office and I told them, you know, I'm going to fail that urine test today. And, like, I need help. And the parole agent I had down there said, well, we'll send you to such and such program, which was right in the middle of the same neighborhood. And I'm like, that's not going to work for me. Like, that's not going to work for me. Like, I need to get back to somewhere close to home, because that doesn't work for everybody, but I knew that that's where I needed to be, because I knew there were predecessors in that area that I had relationships with prior that were still there, still living clean, still building lives based on the application of this program, and I needed to get back. So I made the phone calls and I got myself the help that I needed, and I landed in the area of Altoona where I live now, and I dove into the middle. It wasn't easy sometimes. I made a lot of mistakes along the way, but that part in the Living Clean book about the desperation turning to the passion that fuels, like, that is my story, and that is what I see in my life today, even though I still try to duck and dodge certain things that I don't want to do because it's uncomfortable and it's fear-based, right? Fear-based. Everything in my life, right? So, and we were just talking about it right before this, that fear and excitement release the same chemical in your brain. You just got to tell yourself, it's not fear, I'm not afraid, like I'm excited, right?
Yep.
Right? So that's what I did. I talked myself into it, even as like my friends pow in and start doing the things and drawing the attention, because I hate that. I used to blend in. I used to be a chameleon. I used to give me the whatever, not courage, but like the ability to like live life, because I was never comfortable with myself, you know? And today I am. Today I'm a little more comfortable. It's still a work in progress. I will never be perfect. Sometimes my brain likes to tell me that I need to shoot for this perfection, but that's unattainable, and I have to remind myself of that on a daily basis. But like, thank God for Narcotics Anonymous, because I wouldn't be here today. I wouldn't be here, and I wouldn't have the life that I have today. So I know I didn't talk very long, but I don't want to ramble. I don't want to ramble. This is my first time ever speaking. Even on a group level, I've dodged it. And many of you have called me and tried to get me to come to your home group, and it's just, it always works out that I can say, oh, I work 10 hours that day every week. That's my schedule. I'm so sorry. But I couldn't get out of this one, and I tried. I tried. When the programming chair asked me, I tried to spit all these reasons why, and I said, you're not even listening to me. He said, oh, I'm listening. I'm listening to the disease, and when you're ready to talk, come back to me. And I was like, this motherfucker got me. So like 12 hours later, I was like, I will do it. I will do it on the gift of desperation, because I know about that, you know, and I don't know. I'm just grateful. I'm grateful to be here. I'm grateful for you guys coming here to listen to an addict like me. I'm grateful for this event, and thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Tosh. I would like to introduce our second speaker, Dennis F. from Pittsburgh, PA.
Addict named Dennis.
Hey, Dennis.
Oh, we're recording this?
Yep. Hope you're okay with it.
No, I gotta lie. I'd like to thank the committee for asking me to come and give back to Narcotics Anonymous. This is my least favorite way to serve. It didn't used to be that way, when I thought I had something important to say. But as time has gone on, I believe in Narcotics Anonymous wholeheartedly and 100%, and I always am honored to give back. It's just I don't necessarily need like the spotlight on me the way I used to. I too was given the choice of topics, what was presented to me, and I picked Gift of Desperation because I feel very grateful, very passionate about that. I think that, like a lot of times you hear people talk about Gift of Desperation, G-O-D, God. But for me, man, I came in and out of this program thinking that I was desperate numerous times. Right, I would come in, like the pain would get great, my situation would get great, my consequences would get great, and then I would come in here, and because I wanted to come here, because I wanted all that shit to stop. And so I'd come here and I would hang out and I would do a few things, and I would stop creating my own hell for a little bit of time, and things would get better. What would happen was that the pain would go away and I'd get comfortable. But then I would start having good ideas. Right, I would start thinking for myself again instead of taking direction, and eventually I would want to be here, and I'd want to hang out, and I would want to go bowling, and I would want to play spades till 4 a.m. and drink Red Bulls, and I would want to do that stuff, but without the work, without the surrender, without the steps, and without the desperation. I wasn't here to stay, because eventually what I wanted to do would go back to the old people, places, and things, the fast-paced lifestyle that I was missing out on in my head, you know, and I would return to the source of my suffering again and again and again. So I was stuck in this pattern. Even though I was coming here to try to get clean and change my life, I was still locked into doing exactly what I wanted to do. And then what I wanted to do just changed after a period of time. It would change and I would want to come here, and then it would change, I would go back. But I was still doing exactly what I wanted to do. Desperation, when I was truly desperate, it gave me the power to face the fear of the unknown and to do what I didn't want to do. Because, like, us addicts, man, like, honestly, if you think about it, like, the unknown is a powerful, powerful fear. When we don't know what's coming, we would rather risk dying than face something that we don't know. That same misery that's leading us into the grave is more comfortable than not knowing what's coming. So I was on that cycle for a while, and I kept thinking like I was desperate and I'd hit my bottom and whatever. But for me, man, the true desperation came. It wasn't even outside. There was many times, man, I was locked up. I had no place to go, dope sick in the middle of winter. All these outside circumstances were horrible, where I, you know, looking at it, it's like, man, everything about my existence sucked. Everything. But I wasn't done. Right? For me, man, I came into Narcotics Anonymous and I put in some effort. Each time I came back, that's one thing I gotta say. Every time I came back from like going back out there, I did more. I did more NA. More NA suggestions, more stuff. I can't even wrap my mind around not staying here, coming back, and then doing less than you did before you went out. But I see it all the time. But I did a little bit more. I took a little bit more suggestions. I went to a little more meetings. I actually called my sponsor, whatever it was. So anyway, in this process, like all the other times I came in and out of Narcotics Anonymous, there was this... H and I would come in when I was locked up and they would talk to me about what NA could do for me. And I could always separate myself from what they were saying because it was just words. Like, okay, that's you. That ain't me. You don't know me. You don't know how I came up. If you went through what I went through, you know, all that shit. So I would be able to separate it. But then as I kept coming back and doing more and more, I started doing things like working steps and talking to my sponsor and sharing honest shit in a meeting, not some surface bullshit for the girls. Hello. And I started getting that freedom, that promise in Narcotics Anonymous on some levels. I started getting some freedom, and once I found that once I know something, I can't unknow it. All those other times I could dismiss it because I hadn't experienced it, but once I experienced it, I could no longer lie about it to myself. I had done something different and I had freedom. So when I did find myself back out there the last time, there was no lying. It was like I called a sucker punch from God that I was there because I was a coward. Because I had proven to myself that there was another way to live. I had settled into like that idea of like, when I talk about surrender and how hard it is to surrender, I had surrendered to that lifestyle and that bottom for years. Like, this is just how it's going to be. God created me to be a horrible warning to all these other people. That self-centeredness on that colossal scale. So the reality was, like, the last time that I got high, when that desperation hit me, was I didn't lose everything. Right? I had a car sitting outside. I had a roof over my head. But I was getting high. I found myself getting high, and I was in Aliquippa, Pennsylvania. At the time I got clean, I was in the projects right on the hill above where the old meeting used to be. It was on Franklin Avenue, a place called The Well. And I was sitting there going, racking my brain, thinking about it. Like, how did I end up here again? What the reality was is that I was hiding. I was hiding from the truth. And like all that street bravado bullshit came into my head, and it was just like, that was the most cowardly way I'd ever seen myself in my life, and I hated it. I didn't want to be myself. I felt like ripping my skin off. because the truth was the truth. And I got up and I walked down the hill, and it was a Wednesday night, and there was a beginner meeting and a speaker meeting afterwards. And I walked into the beginner meeting and I asked for help. And like everybody there knew me, because I was that dude that didn't take suggestions and thought he had asked for help with all the answers already. But they started in the middle of the meeting. They got up and they hugged me, and they told me that they loved me. And like, and I always talk about that when I share, because that was like a huge turning point for me, because I was getting these hugs and I was getting this love, and I realized that it's the only place in my life that I've ever had that is in Narcotics Anonymous. Because people didn't care what was in my pocket. They didn't care if what kind of car I was driving. All they wanted was for me to be okay. And I was like thinking to myself, why do I keep walking away from this? So anyway, for me, the desperation, like at that point when I realized that, it was like there was this fork in the road that I envisioned in my head. And it was like, I'm going to die or I'm going to change. And like, I was just talking to somebody real briefly about that up at the hall. But it's like, that point comes. There are different places for all of us. Like our literature talks about it, like the old lady, like forging prescriptions, and like, and it's true, because that desperation, when it comes, it doesn't matter what the outside circumstances are. It doesn't matter how low our bottom is. What it comes is that spiritual aspect of like, I can't go on one more fucking day like this. I can't do it anymore. And that's where I was. It was a spiritual death. It wasn't a circumstantial. It wasn't anything outside. It wasn't that I was getting locked up again. It was, I can't go one more day like this. And so I didn't go to a rehab. It wasn't like I was kicking in a holding cell. I was dope sick, and I went to meetings and I asked for help and I got rides. Even though I had a car, I had to surrender. Finally took that suggestion, you know, surrender to the fact you don't have a driver's license. And I called people, and every day I got rides, and I went to meetings, and I went to lots of meetings, and I went to meetings all the time because I was desperate, right? I was desperate because I didn't want to get high, but I was afraid too. So I knew, like, if I was in a meeting, that for that hour I was sitting in a meeting, I didn't want to get high. So I started thinking, well, if I show up a half hour early and I stay a half hour late, that's more time that I feel safe. That's more ways of protecting myself. So I became like, I was like a home group member everywhere I went. Because I'd be waiting for them to come unlock the doors so I could come in and put the literature out or however I could help. Because that was my safe space, you know. So I went to all these meetings and I did that. And like, as soon as I didn't have clean time, but as soon as I could get involved with any kind of PR or pushing a broom at a function or a fundraiser or something, I jumped into it, because I quickly tapped into the fact that, like, when I was tapped into the power, whatever was going on here, I was okay. You know, I didn't want to get high. I didn't think about it all the time when I was here. So I did that every single day. I went to meetings. I didn't get high. I was sick. Next day, I went to meetings. I didn't get high. And I would share about it every day. I was like, the grind, man, it was a grind. I wanted, every time I was in treatment, I got that pink cloud and I came out and everything was great in the world. And I was with my recovery crew and, you know, we were going to meetings together and like, it was like fun, a fun change. But this time, man, it was a grind. And I really believe that like, it sucked, but it had to, because it's a huge reason why I'm still here. It was the very first thing in my life that I worked really hard for that was good for me. And then, like, the gift of desperation, to me, man, it's like, I believe that, like, the reason it is such a gift is because from that moment that it hit, that I had surrender, whatever, like, I have been very in touch up until this minute right here now of what Narcotics Anonymous has done for me. Because I was at that point there, there's no confusion in my life of like what has made it better and what keeps making it better. It's NA all the time. Like my solution to all my problems in life is more NA. It's more NA, no matter what it is. You get fired, a relationship ends, you know, somebody dies, somebody decides to, whatever it is, it's more NA. Because not that that's the quick fix solution, but the only way I'm going to get through it is with Narcotics Anonymous. Left to my own devices, I'm going to try controlling, manipulating, all of those things that I do when I'm trying to get a result that I'm chasing. But if I trust in Narcotics Anonymous, I get through it. But the thing about that desperation is when I came from that fork in the road where it was like I was going to die or I was going to change, the gratitude continues to grow because every good thing, every storm that I've gone through and gotten to the other side, my faith has grown. My faith in Narcotics Anonymous. Because I've gotten through it over and over and over. And even though I have times of doubt, I still have all this experience I just have to rely on. All I got to do is like pray, meditate, and like tap into the truth of the situation. And the truth is, like, I'm an absolute miracle. When I look at my life today and I think about like what it was before that desperation, it's mind-blowing. And I think that I got clean in a time when we were allowed to get desperate, right? Like it was the last stop. Narcotics Anonymous was like the last place you stumbled in before the coffin. That's kind of how it was. Everybody said it was the last house on the street. It wasn't so profitable the way things are now, because now with all the treatment and the pharmaceutical, everything going on, and I'm not bashing anything or anybody or the way anything is done. I'm just saying that like that point of I'm going to die or I'm going to change. We've had this mindset that we're doing people a favor by not letting them get there. And we do it with enabling too. We'll run around and we'll try to take away people's pains. We'll try to soften things for them, even knowing what a gift it has been for us. And that's dangerous. That's dangerous because I really believe that the Narcotics Anonymous program itself, that's a huge ingredient in the recipe, is desperation. Because after being here a few years, like when I look around and the people that I see who have been here who for the long haul and they're still serving and they're still showing up and they're still doing all this stuff, when you listen to them, they all talk about that desperation. All the details are different, but they talk about that end of the road desperation where they didn't have anywhere else to go, right? They can't attribute it to a medication. They can't attribute it to a treatment center. They attribute it to Narcotics Anonymous taught them how to live clean and recover. And so I think about it all the time, man. And like, I do a gratitude list every day. I have since I got clean. I just do 10 things just to shift my brain into seeing the truth. Because like, I can lie to myself. I have so much deception and my self-centeredness flares up. And I look at like all the things I don't have or the things I should have or whatever. But a gratitude list real quick in the morning just brings everything into perspective of like the truth of my life and where I'm at. So I do that. And one of the things that's almost on my list at least 3-4 times a week is the desperation that brought me here. Because that desperation still carries on. I mean, there are days when that kick in and going to meetings and like sharing about it and like why I wanted to get high. There are days when it came up and I didn't call my sponsor. I didn't go to a meeting and share about it. You know what I did? I remembered that shit. And then I remembered like going to jail off 110 milligrams of methadone. I remembered that shit, you know? Those are things that we don't want anybody to have to go through. But thank God I did, you know? I value this thing more than anything else in my life. More than my kids, any relationship, because there is nothing in my life that I can't directly attribute and say thank you to Narcotics Anonymous for. And it doesn't mean that all I do is NA and I'm like some service junkie. Like I've got this great life where I do all these incredible things and I take what I learned here and the principles that I live and apply in my life and I take them outside of here. And I've gone from this selfish, self-centered person to a selfless person. My existence is much more servitude than it is self-seeking today. And that's the true miracle. The most selfish person I knew doesn't live that way anymore. I have my moments, but like overall, when I do act that way, I'm aware of it because it's not who I am anymore. When we get here, a lot of times, man, doing the right thing feels wrong, and doing the wrong thing feels right. Mm-hmm. But today, if I do the wrong thing, it feels very wrong. Mm-hmm. And that's a miracle. That's all I have to say about the gift of desperation. Thank you. Yeah.